الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقال سبحانه وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد فقال سبحانه وتعالى قل أوحي إلي أنه استمع نفر ما به ولن نشرك بربنا أحدا. My respected elders, my brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I hope everybody had a good Eid. And I also hope by now that you've digested your biryanis, your chicken tikkas, your pakoras and your samosas. The last time I was in Liverpool, mashallah, after the talk the brothers shared their biryanis and their chicken tikkas with me. However, I must mention, it was my brothers that were doing the eating. I, on the other hand, was receiving a bombardment of questions, all seemed to be relating to the jib, while my brothers were enjoying themselves eating. Obviously these brothers, they were interested, keen, you can say curious about the jinn. Mind you, they were not the only ones. Wherever you seem to go, you find people talking about jinns, talking about some house which may have a jinn inside it, or talking about some human being which might be possessed by a jinn. People love talking about things like this. People love talking about things which are of extraordinary nature. Things which may be irrelevant. Things which will have no effect on his iman or on his daily life as a practicing Muslim. People just love talking about strange things. And it seems as if this is human nature. Talk about UFOs, talk about aliens, talk about dinosaurs and things of this nature. And people will listen to you for hours without even blinking. But on the other hand, talk about tafsir. Talk about issues relating to fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence. 2 minutes into the talk and you will find people yawning. You will find people fidgeting, moving and leaving. This, unfortunately, is the state of the Ummah. So anyway, today, to save myself, keep on answering the same questions time after time, I've decided to talk about the jinn and pass an hour relating stories to you. So you can go home and relate these stories to your brothers, to your sisters, and to your friends and your mothers and fathers. Ibn Aqil relates in Al-Funun, كان عندنا دار كلما سكنها ناس أصبحوا موتى. He says that we had a house, and every time somebody lived inside his house, next morning this guy's a goner, he's already reached the heavens. He's died. He says, on one occasion what happened was, a man came from Maghrib. He looked at the house. He was pleased with it. And he took it on rent. Next morning, and this guy is still walking and talking. This guy is still alive. Everybody is astonished. The neighbors surprised. How come this guy is still alive? He still made it. Not only did he make it, he stayed in that house for a period of time, and only then did he move. When he moved, the neighbors, the locals asked him. He said, on the first night, I prayed Salatul Isha, and I began to recite the Quran. I began to recite the Quran when all of a sudden, a young man came out of the well. He greeted me with salam. I was terrified. A young guy coming out of the well? He said to me, don't be worried. Alimni shay'in min al-Qur'an. All I want you to do is teach me some Qur'an. I began to teach him the Qur'an. I then asked him, كَهَذِهِ الدَّارِ كَيْفَ حَدِيثُهَا? What's the score with this house? Why is everybody afraid to live inside this house? How come everybody that used to live in here used to wake up dead? He replied, نحن جن المسلمون نقرأ ونصلي وهذه الدار ما يكثر بها إلا الفساق. That we are Muslim jinn. We pray the Quran and we also pray. And majority of the times, this house was rented by fasiqeen, fusaq, sinners. They will spend their time taking intoxicants and alcohol. And we dislike this. Thus, we would strangle them. I said to him, okay, I'm scared of you when you come during the night. I'd be grateful if you can come during the day. He says thereafter, this young man would come out of the well during the day, and I would teach him the Quran. And one day as I was teaching him the Quran, one of these guys that does ta'weez was on the street calling out, أرقى من الدبيب ومن العين ومن الجن. That I do ta'weez from everything, from creepy crawlies and from the evil eye and even from the jinn. The jinn asked, what's this? I remarked that this is just one of these guys that does ta'weez. I brought this guy inside, and to my surprise, the jinn had turned into a snake and was on the roof. This guy began to recite something, and the jinn slowly descended till it fell in the middle of the room. He stood up to take it and put it inside his basket. I gave him a dinar instead, and he left. The snake shook, and out came the jinn, all weak and pale, and had lost a lot of weight. I asked him, what's the score? How come all of a sudden he had become weak and pale? He replied, قَتَلَنِي هَذَا بِهَذِهِ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَمَا أَظُنُّنِي أَفْلَحِ. Now this ta'weez guy has killed me with the words that he's recited, and I don't think I will make it alive tonight. If you hear a scream inside the well tonight, then leave. He says, that very night I was informed that this jinn is no more, he has passed away. Thus I left. Ibn Aqil says that nobody ever lived in this house ever again. It gets better. Shah Waliullah Muhaddis Dahlawi was a great muhaddis of his time, a master of hadith. His brother Shah Ahlullah was once inside the masjid reciting the Quran when a snake passed. He didn't think much of the snake, and he killed the snake. After a very short time, two men entered the masjid and said to Shah Sahib, "The king is calling you." Shah Sahib went with. Now, when they left the town, they began to head towards the jungle. Now Shah Sahib got worried and sent something fishy and asked, "Where's the king?" They replied, "The king's nearby." Shah Sahib went with thinking that the king probably went hunting in the jungle and he's probably camping there. Some masalas probably cropped up and the king probably needs the answer to this masala. So without further question, Shah Sahib went with them into the jungle. When they entered the jungle, Shah Sahib saw a huge gathering. An old man sitting on the throne. Cases are being presented before him. And this old man is solving these cases one by one. This in reality was a jinn king. And this was his palace. Shah Sahib joined the gathering and sat to one side. After a short while, a man came and claimed that Shah Sahib has killed his son without any reason whatsoever. And thus he wants the law of Qisas to be applied to Shah Sahib. A nafs for bin nafs, a life for a life. Shah Sahib stunned, gobsmacked, and denied any knowledge of this. However, when Shah Sahib is informed that the snake that he killed was in reality a baby jinn, Shah Sahib acknowledged and remained quiet. Now the law of Qisas, the death penalty, was on the verge of being announced. When an old man from amongst that very gathering, from amongst those sitting in the circle, who had seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and embraced Islam, he said to the judge, "Get the law of Qisas cannot be applied with regards to Shah Sahib. Why? Because I have heard Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, 'Man qutila fi ghayri ziyihi fadamu hadam.' Whoever is killed whilst taking another form, his blood is forgiven." Meaning, because this jinn had taken the form of a snake, and Shah Sahib had no knowledge of it being a jinn, and it was killed in this state, thus there will be no qisas, and the blood of this jinn will be forgiven. Allahu Akbar. This is how a jinn who had seen Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and who knew of the hadith, "Man qutila fi ghayri ziyihi fadamu hadar," though a lot has been said with regards to this hadith, this is how a jinn saved Shah Sahib from the death penalty. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is definitely the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives His grace to whoever He wishes. Many a time people have been taken by the jinn. Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla reports that a man from his tribe was making his way for Isha. He was making his way for Isha when all of a sudden he disappears. Now his wife's worried at home waiting for him. He doesn't return. She goes and informs Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an orders the woman to remain and wait for him for 4 years. First year passes, the second passes, all 4 years have passed. And there's no sign of this guy. She goes back to Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu tells her to remarry. All of a sudden, husband number one has returned. The guy gives it, "What's this man? What's happening here?" The case is presented before Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu gives him a good telling off. کہ یغیب احدکم الزمان لا یعلم اہلہ حیاتہ, and then he comes back asking for his wife. Now you play this disappearing act for years, your wife doesn't even know whether you're alive or dead, and then you come back asking for your wife. He replied, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, كان لي عندي عذر. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I have an excuse. I was making my way for Salatul Isha, when all of a sudden, the jinn captured me and took me with them. I remained with them for a very long time. The jinn that had captured me were kuffar. A time came when Muslim jinn made jihad with them and they defeated them. I was from amongst the prisoners. They asked me, what is your deen? I informed them that I was a Muslim. They said to me that you are a Muslim like us and it is not permissible for us to imprison you. They then gave me a choice. I could either stay with them or I could return to my family. I chose to return to my family. They accompanied me to my house. During the night, the jinn would take the form of human beings and they would speak. And during the day, it was like a whirlwind which I would follow. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted his excuse. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave him a choice. In either he could keep his wife, or either he could divorce his wife. A final story, narrated by Uqayli in Ad-Du'afa and Imam Bayhaqi rahmahumullahu ta'ala, on the authority of Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, بينما نحن قعود عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على جبل من جبال تحامة, that whilst we were sitting in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one of the mountains of Tihama, إذا أقبل شيخ في يده عصا, all of a sudden an old man came carrying a walking stick and greeting Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him who he was. He replied, أنا هاما ابن هيم ابن لاقيس ابن إبليس. That I am Hama, the son of Him, the son of Laqis, the son of Iblis. Only two generation gaps. Iblis, the Shaitan, is his great grandfather. How old do you think this guy is? Thus, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, ما بينك وبين إبليس إلا أبوان فكما تاع عليك من الدار. That there are only two generation gaps between you and Iblis, the Shaitan. How old are you? He's coming to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How old do you think this guy is? Right? From near the beginning of time till the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He replies, Ya Rasulullah, kad afna ayati dunya umraha illa qalila. That the world is now near its end. The night the son of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam was killed, I was of understanding age. I would commit evil, spread corruption, commit bloodshed, order for relations to be broken. This is what I would do. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what a bad thing that you would do. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, zarni inni ta'ibun ila Allah azza wa jal. Let it be, I have repented. When I met Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, I said, Ya Nuh, إني ممن أشرك في دم السعيد الشهيد قابيل بن آدم فهل تجد لي عند ربك توبة. Oh no, I am from amongst those that participated in the killing of Sayyidina Adam عليه الصلاة والسلام son قابيل بن آدم. Will your Lord forgive me? Sayyidina Nuh عليه الصلاة والسلام said, يا هاما هم بالخير وفعله قبل الحسرة والندامة. Oh هاما, make intention of good and repent before you regret. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to me, any servant Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how much sin he commits, and no matter how big the sins are, and no matter how much they may be in number, whoever repents from with sincerity and pure inside, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his repentance. Go make wudu and prostrate before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hama says, I prostrated before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam called, Uhama, irfa rasak fakad nazala tawbatuka min as-sama. Uhama, raise your head. Your repentance has been accepted and your tawbah has been revealed from the heavens. Hama says, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet again, I fell in prostration. And thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I remain in prostration for 1 year. O Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have met Sayyidina Hud alayhi salam. And I reproved of his prayer against his people. So Sayyidina Hud alayhi salatu wa sallam cried and he made me cry. I have also visited Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam. I was with Yusuf alayhi salam. I met Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, who taught me the Torah. And he said to me, Uhama, if you meet Isa alayhi salam, convey my salams to him. O Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I met Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and I conveyed to him the salams of Sayyidina Musa. And Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam said to me, Uhama, if you meet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then convey the salams of Muhammad, then convey my salams to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tears began to flow from our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eyes. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Wa ala Isa as-salam adamati dunya, wa alayka as-salam ya hama bi adaika al-amana. Peace be upon Isa, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, till dunya remains. And peace be upon you, O Hama, for conveying the message, for conveying the amana. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach me the Quran, just like Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam taught me the Torah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him some surahs of the Quran. Sayyidina Umar Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, and we were never informed whether Hama ibn Him ibn Laqis ibn Iblis is alive or not. Thus, we do not know whether he is alive or dead. However, in another hadith narrated by Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Inna Hama ibn Him ibn Laqis ibn Iblis fil Jannah. The Hama ibn Him ibn Laqis ibn Iblis is in Jannah. My brothers and sisters, these were just a few stories to keep you awake. Now to the real stuff. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created three types of creation. There are the angels created from nur. There are the human beings. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ, created from mud. And then there are the jinn. وَخَلَقَ الْجَانَّ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ, created from fire. Just like Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is Abu al-Bashr, father of mankind, Iblis the shaitan is considered to be Abu al-Jan, the father of the jinn. The jinn were the inhabitants of the dunya well before mankind. In a weak hadith narrated by Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, كَكَانَ الْجِنُّ سُكَّانَ الْأَرْضِ وَالْمَلَائِكَ سُكَّانَ السَّمَاءِ لِكُلِّ سَمَاءٍ مَلَائِكَةٌ وَلِكُلِّ أَهْلِ السَّمَاءٍ صَلَاةٌ وَتَصْبِيحٌ وَدُعَاءٌ. He says the jinn inhabited the dunya while the angels were the inhabitants of the heaven. Every heaven had its own angels, its own tasbih, its own dua, and its own prayer. And the angels in the heaven would glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would pray and worship more than the angels that were on the heaven below them. And in authentic hadith, yet again narrated by Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and recorded by Imam Hakim in Al-Mustadrak, he says that the jinn inhabited the dunya 2,000 years before Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was even created. Now the jinn spread evil, corruption everywhere, and committed bloodshed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to teach them a lesson, sent a group of angels, and these angels beat them and drove them to remote islands. This is why, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the angels, كَإِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةٌ قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the angels, yeah, I'm going to place mankind on the dunya, on earth, they remarked to Allah, are you going to place those on the earth who will make mischief and commit evil and bloodshed just like the jinn did? So the jinn were on the earth well before mankind. And before the coming of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the days of ignorance, The jinn prevailed and dominated Mal. They would regularly give taklif to human beings. They would trouble them on a regular basis. The jinn would take them. The jinn would appear before them and speak with them. The jinn would try to scare them. The jinn would come and commit sin with their women. And the reason the jinn had the upper hand is because man showed his weakness. When man traveled through jungles or resided in some desert, instead of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection, he would ask the protection of the jinn living in that jungle or in that desert. The story of Rafi ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu supports this. Sayyidina Rafi ibn Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, one night, whilst I was traveling in some jungle, tired, I went to sleep reciting the words which our people and our tribe would normally recite, كَإِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِأَزِيمِ هَذَا الْوَادِي مِنْ سُفَحَائِ, that I ask protection from the chief jinn, from the evil jinns. He says, asking the protection of the jinn, I went to sleep. I saw a dream. Somebody wants to kill my camel. I wake up, look around, and there's nobody there. Thinking that this is probably a shaitani dream, I went back to sleep. Yet again I see the same dream for a second time. I'm sweating. I wake up and look, and my camel is shaking and shivering. But there's nobody there. Yet again, I go to sleep. Third time, I'm sleeping and I see the very same dream again, and I'm full of sweat. I wake up, I see my camel shaking and shivering. And the very person that I saw in my dream was standing next to my camel with a spear in his hand, wanting to kill my camel. And an old man is there holding his hand, stopping him from doing so. Meanwhile, some animals pass and the old man tells him to take any one of these and leave the camel. The young man takes one of these animals and leaves. The old man then said to me, O Rafi, next time when you fear the jinn, seek refuge in the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rafi asked this old man, who is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The old man informed him of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Rafi ibn Umair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu went to Madinatul Munawwara to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related the story of Rafi ibn Umair to him before he could even say anything. And on this, Rafi ibn Umair testified, أَشَدُوَ اللَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, that I testify there is no God worthy of worship and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, what I'd like to say from this story is that in the days of ignorance, when man traveled in jungles or deserts, he would ask the jinn for protection and he would seek refuge in the jinn, in the chief jinn. So when the jinn saw this, the jinn thought, hold on, this guy is scared of us. This is how the jinn got the upper hand. Though in reality, Muslims have the upper hand. I'm sure you all are aware of the hadith of Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he fought with the jinn. He says, كُنَّ مَعَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي سَفَرٍ فَنَزَلَّ مَنْزِلًا فَأَخَصُّ قِرْبَةِ وَدَلْوِي لِيَسْتَقِي. He says, we were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a journey. We halted at some place to take some rest. I took my water bag to fetch some water for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, وَأَمَّا إِنَّهُ سَيَعْتِيكَ عَلَى الْمَاءِ آتٍ يَمْنَأُكَ مِنْ, that when you go to fetch the water, you will find somebody there who will come to you and he will prevent you from taking any water. Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I took my water bag and I went to the well. All of a sudden, this black man appears before me and he says, لَا تَسْتَقِي مِنْهَ الْيَوْمِ زُنُوبٌ وَاحِدًا, and he stops me from taking any water. He grabs me. Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, when he grabbed me, I grabbed him. I threw him onto the ground, grabbed the stone and banged it on his face and gave him a good beating. He says, thereafter, I took my water bag, filled it with water, and I presented it to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, O Ammar, هل أتاك على الماء من أحد? O Ammar, did anybody come to you at the water? Did you meet anybody there? Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that I related the whole incident to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me, O Ammar, do you know who that was? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed me, O Ammar, that was the shaitan. In some of the narration it is mentioned that Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if I knew it was the shaitan, then I would have killed it. Another narration, Qadhi Abu Ya'la relates it in Tabaqatul Hanabila. He says, the narrator says that I was once in the masjid of the great Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, one of the four famous Imams. He says, I was in his masjid when the Amir al-Mu'mineen of the time sent a message to Imam Ahmad saying that one of the girls has been possessed by a jinn and he would be very grateful if Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal can pray for her. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmahullah, took one of the slippers that is used for wuzu and gave it to this messenger saying that go to the house of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, sit next to this girl and talk to the jinn that is inside her. كَأَيُّمَا أَحَبُّ عَلَيْكَ What would you like? تَخُرُجْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْجَارِيَةِ Would you like to leave this girl on your own will or on your own accord? أَوْ تَصْرَ بِعَذَ النَّعْلِ سَبْعِينَ Or would you like 70 beatings with this slipper? The messenger goes to the Amir al-Mu'mineen's house. He sits next to this girl and he says exactly what Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah told him to say to her. The jinn replies, الصَّمْ وَالتَّعْ لو أمرنا أحمد ألا نقيم بالعراق ما أقمنا به. Why? إنه أطاع الله ومن أطاع الله أطاعه كل شيء. Obedience to Ahmed. If Ahmed tells us to move from Iraq, then we will not even remain in Iraq for a second. Why? Because he is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything becomes subservient to him. And the jinn left. So in reality, Muslims have the upper hand and can overpower a jinn. But in the days of ignorance, because mankind showed his weakness to the jinn got the upper hand. However, this was before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in the days of ignorance. When our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to this world, their dominance totally came to an end. And this was due to the blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and one of the favors that mankind has received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their dominance came to an end so much so that some scholars have written that the jinns used to exist before the coming of Rasulullah. After the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the jinn no longer exist. However, this is wrong because the jinn exists at this moment in time. The jinns themselves began to inform their companions that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come to the world. And they themselves went to embrace Islam on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm sure that you're aware that the shayateen before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to the heavens to see if they can steal or snatch some news of the unseen. Now when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into this world and when the shayateen went to the heavens, they were blasted with meteors. Now the hadith of Bukhari states, when this happened, the shayateen began to say to one another, something extraordinary must have happened. We were never blasted with these shihab thaqib, with these meteors before. Why now? Definitely something new has come into the world. Let us go. فَضْرِبُوا مَشَارِكَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبِهَا Let us go into the corners of the world, the east and west, and see what is this new thing that has happened. The jinn went everywhere. They traveled the east, the west. Till finally, a group of them came to Tihama. It was here Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leading the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'een in prayer. The jinn listened to the recitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, embraced Islam and returned to their people as warners. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفْرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدِ فَآمَنَّا بِهِ وَلَنْ نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا This is the teaching of the Qur'an. مِنَّ الْمُسْلِمُونَ وَمِنَّ الْقَاسِطُونَ فَمَنْ أَسْلَمَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ تَحَرَّوْا رَشَدًا وَأَمَّا الْقَاسِتُونَ فَكَانُوا لِجَهَنَّمَ حَطَبًا Just like human beings, within the humans we have those who believe in Allah and His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslims. And we also have those who do not believe in Allah and His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the kafirs. In the jinn you have exactly the same. You have those who believe in Allah and His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you have those who don't believe in Allah and His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah. And just like within human beings, you've got all these different sects. You've got the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and you've got the non-Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Unfortunately, within the jinn, you've got exactly the same. You've got all these different sects. You've got the Murji'ah, you've got the Shia, you've got the Qadariyah, you've got the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you've got the non-Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Having said this, some ulama are of the opinion that the Muslim jinn are only commissioned with Iman. Only commissioned with Iman. While others are of the opinion, that just like human being, the Muslim jinn are commissioned with everything. They say they also have to pray. If they possess wealth, then they also have to give zakat and sadaqatul fitr. They have to also perform hajj and so forth. They say that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, كَمَنْ صَلَّى مِنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَلْيَجْهَرْ بِقِرَاعَتِهِ فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ تُصَلِّي بِسَلَاتِهِ وَتَسْتَمِعُ لِقِرَاعَتِهِ They say Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever prays during the night, then he should recite aloud. Why? Because the angels listen to his recitation and they also pray with him. The mu'min jinn that are living in the air also pray with him and listen to his recitation. The jinn living inside his house also listen to his recitation and pray with him. And by reciting aloud, he will drive away the evil jinn that are living in his house and his neighborhood. And many other ahadith supports this view. When Safwan ibn Muhriz al-Mazini, إذا قام إلى تهجدي قام معه سكان داره من الجن. When Safwan ibn Muhriz al-Mazni, when he would wake up for tahajjud, the jinn living in his house would also wake up for tahajjud. They would listen to his recitation and they would pray with him. The narrator asked, how would Safwan ibn Muhriz al-Mazni know that the jinn have also woke up and they are also praying with him? He replied that whenever he woke up, he would hear noise and movement, and when he would look around, there's nobody there. Thus he would become alarmed and scared. On one occasion what happened was that the jinn called out, لا تفصى يا عبد الله فإن نحن إخوانك نقوم بقيامك فنصلي بصلاتك وعبد الله O servant of Allah, do not fear. We are your brothers from amongst the jinn. We also wake up and we also pray with you and listen to your recitation. Thereafter, Safwan ibn Muhriz al-Mazni was never alarmed and never feared anything. Another hadith, Abu Zubair relates that once Abdullah ibn Safwan was sitting next to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِذَا أَقْبَلَتْ حَيَّةٌ مِّن بَابِ الْإِرَاقِ when all of a sudden a snake came, it went around the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 7 times, completing its tawaf. It then came to the Hajr al-Aswad and made its tilam. Abdullah ibn Safwan, on seeing the snake, said to the snake, أَيُّهُ الْجَانِ قَدْ قَضَيْتَ أُمْرَضَكَ O jinn, now you have completed your umrah, return as we fear for our children. And the jinn returned from where it came. And there are many other narrations which support that the jinn are commissioned with everything just like human beings. Now whatever it may be, whether they are commissioned just with iman or whether they are commissioned with everything just like the human beings, one thing is for certain, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accompanied by different sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, on different occasions has met with the jinn, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has solved many of their problems and taught them many things, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has recited the Quran unto them. Relating one of these incidents, Amr ibn Ghaylan al-Thaqafi once said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the hadith recorded by Abu Nu'aym, he says, حُدِّثْ أَنَّكَ كُنْتَ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ That I was informed that you was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the night he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to meet the jinn. He replied in the affirmative. He asked, حَدِّثْنِي كَيْفَ كَانَ شَأْنُ Tell me how it was. He said, كَإِنَّ أَهْلَ الصُّفَّةِ أَخَذَ كُلُّ رَجُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ رَجُلًا يُعَشِّي That the people of the bench, the Ashabu Sufa, every one of them was taken by one Sahabi to their house for their evening meal. Now the Ashabu Sufa, the people of the bench, were those poor Sahaba who had nothing. They would remain in the masjid and they would learn the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would learn the Quran and they would teach others. And whatever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received, a sadaqah, he would distribute amongst the Ashabu Sufa, and this is what they would eat. Now on that occasion, the Ashabu Sufa, the people of the bench, were taken by one well-off Sahabi to their house for their evening meal. And Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I was left alone in the masjid, nobody took me. He says, I was in the masjid alone when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. He sent Allah alayhi wa sallam had a branch from of the palm tree in his hand with which he hit on my chest and said, "O Abdullah, imtalik ma'i, O Abdullah, come with." He says, I went with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till we got to Jannah, till we got to Baqi'ul Gharqa. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew a line with his stick and said, "O Abdullah, ijlis fiha. O Abdullah, sit here and make sure you don't move till I come." He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went. And I kept looking at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from between the trees. So when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, all of a sudden, black dust began to rise, which came between me and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The jinn had come. I could hear Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling the jinn to sit down with his stick. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met with the jinn. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the Quran unto them. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed with the jinn till the morning. In the morning, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to me and said, "O Abdullah, لو أنك خرجت من هذه الحلقة," that if you had left this circle, then it would have been feared that one of them may have taken you with. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, "O Abdullah, did you see anything?" I replied, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رأيت رجالا سودا مستغفرين بثياب بيض." O Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw black people covered in white clothes. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O Abdullah, this group of jinn was from Nasibiyin and they asked me for provisions and I gave them bone and I gave them droppings." I said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how will bones benefit them and droppings benefit them? There's nothing on the bone. The flesh has been eaten. The meat has been eaten." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O Abdullah, on the bone, they will find the very meat that was on it that they was eaten, and this will be food for them, and the droppings will become feed for their animals. Thus, no human beings, it is prohibited for them to make istinja with any one of these things." So my brothers and sisters, this was a brief history of the jinn from the time they were created and to the time they embraced Islam on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, if the hadith related by Hazrat Abu Sa'laba al-Khushni radiallahu ta'ala anhu proves to be authentic, the jinn are of three types. صِنْفٌ لَهُمْ أَجْنِحَ يَطِيرُونَ بِهَا فِي الْهَوَىٰ وَصِنْفٌ حَيَّاتٌ وَكِلَابٌ وَصِنْفٌ يُحِلُّونَ وَيُضْعِنُونَ. One type has wings which fly in the air. Another type is of snake and dogs. And the third type, which keeps on moving from one place to another, keeps on camping and traveling. The normal name that is given to the jinn is jinn. The word jinn means to be hidden, concealed. And because they are hidden from our eyes, we cannot see them. This is why we call them jinn. However, those that live with the human beings are called the amir. Those that appear before the human beings are called arwah. And if they are noxious and evil, then they are called the shaitan. And if they surpass this stage, then they are called ifrit. It is an ajeeb creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not visible to us in their true form. This was a prayer made by the father of jinn that they see and not be seen. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ, that he and his army see you from where you do not see them. Having said this, they can assume and take different forms. They can take the form of human beings. They can take the form of animals, horses, camels, you name it. Qadi Abu Ya'la rahimahullah says, they are able to do this by saying some kalimat, some words which they have been taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or doing some action, some fail, yet again taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when they say these kalimat or this fail or do this action, they are by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take different forms. And many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam support this. Sayyid Aswad al-Du'li once said to Sayyidina Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "Ya Mu'ad, akhbirni an qissati shaytan hina akhastahu." O Mu'ad, relate the story when you had captured and grabbed the shaytan to me. Sayyidina Mu'ad radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Kija'alani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala sadaqatil muslimin," that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made me in charge of the sadaqat. I placed all the dates in one room. Now what would happen is I realized that some of the dates would go missing. There would be less. He says, I informed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, "Wama'ad, haza shaytan ya'khudhu." It's the shaytan who comes and steals and takes these dates. He says, what I did was, I locked myself inside the room and I hid in waiting for the shaitan to come. All of a sudden, there is gloominess overspreads where the door is. The shaitan comes. He first takes the form of an elephant. Then yet again he changes his form. Then he enters from the crevice of the door. He enters inside and he begins to eat the dates. I jumped him and grabbed him. Ya adu Allah, O enemy of Allah, it is you who takes the dates. The shaitan pleaded, خَلِّ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي كَبِيرٌ وَفَقِيرٌ وَذُو عِيَالٌ وَأَنَا مِنْ جِنِّ نَصِيبِيِّينَ. He began to plead to Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, please let me go. I'm an old man. I am weak. I have many children. I am from amongst the jinn of Nasibiyin. I used to live in this village before your Prophet was sent. And when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, we were told to leave. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu felt sorry for him and let the shaitan go. Meanwhile, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam had informed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of what had happened. After the morning prayer, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Aina Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Where is Mu'adh? Sayyidina Mu'adh went to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, ma fa'ala asiru? O Mu'adh, what did your prisoner do? Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu related the whole incident to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Mu'adh, he will return. Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me he will return, yet again I locked myself inside the room waiting for the shaitan to come. And yet again the shaitan came exactly like he came first time, and he entered exactly in the same manner, and he began to eat the dates. As soon as he began to eat the dates, I jumped on him and grabbed him and said, O enemy of Allah, didn't you promise that you are not going to return? Yet again, Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, the shaitan offering the same excuses, and this time yet again he promised that he will not return. But this time he gave me a sign and he said, recite the last verses of Surah Baqarah. If you recite the last verses of Surah Baqarah, no shaitan will be able to enter that house on that night. Another hadith. So from this hadith we learn the shayateen can take different forms. Another hadith, كَأَنَّ جَانًا كَانَ لَا يَظَالُ يَطَّلِهُ عَلَىٰ عَيْشَ. The jinn would keep on revealing himself in front of our mother as a snake. Once our mother, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, ordered that it be killed. That very night, our mother saw a dream. A caller called out, كَتَلْتَ عَبْدَاللَّهِ الْمُسْلِمِ وَعَيْشَ. You have killed Abdullah the Muslim. Our mother replied, كَلَوْ كَانَ مُسْلِمًا لَمْ يَطَّلِعَ عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. That if he was a Muslim, then he would not look at the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our mother was informed that he would only come after you were fully dressed. And the only reason he would come was to listen to your recitation of the Quran. Our mother was so saddened by this that our mother ordered that 10,000 dirham be distributed on her behalf amongst the fuqara, amongst the poor. And there are many other ahadith, my brothers, which suggests that the jinns can take different forms, and they are able to do this by saying certain words, certain kalimat, or doing a certain action which they have been taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they do this, they can take these different forms. On top of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them strength, and they are able to cover long distances in a very short time. I'm sure you are all aware of the story of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam and the jinn, and how the jinn would dive in the oceans for him. And I'm sure you're all aware of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam and the Queen of Sheba. When Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam said, the Quran relates, أَيُّكُمْ يَأْتِينِي بِأَرْشِهَا قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتُونِي مُسْلِمِينَ. That who can bring her throne before she comes to me obedient as a Muslim from hundreds of miles away? What did Ifrit from the jinn say? أَنَا آتِيكَ بِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ تَكُومَ مِنْ مَقَامِكَ وَإِنِّي عَلَيْهِ لَقَوِيٌّ أَمِينٌ. He replied, O Sulaiman, I will bring it to you before you rise from your place. Before this gathering even comes to an end from hundreds of miles away, I will bring a throne before you. Why? Verily, inni laqawiyun amin. I am indeed strong and trustworthy. On top of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them long lives. I've already related the story of Hama ibn Ahim ibn Laqis in Iblis, that he was the great grandson of Iblis. How many thousand years old do you think he must be that he comes to meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And that hadith has many narrations which gives it the daraja of hasan.
Sahal ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates, he says that once I was in the land of the Ard, I saw this house made out of stone in which the jinn would take refuge. I entered and found an old man with a huge body, massive. He was praying towards the Kaaba and he was wearing a very glamorous jubba. He says, I wasn't as much surprised at his huge body as much as I was surprised at his glamorous jubba. It was absolutely beautiful. I greeted him with salam and he replied. And he said, O Sahal, إِنَّ الْأَبْدَانَ لَا تَخْلُكُ السِّيَابِ وَإِنَّمَا يَخْلُكُهَا رَوَائِهُ الظَّنُوَ وَمَطَائِمُ الصُّخْطِ. That is not the clothes, that it is not the the body, the badan, that wears out the clothes. It is the sin and the eating of haram that wears out the clothes. He said, this jubba I have been wearing for over 700 years. In it, I have met Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and I have met in it, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I embraced Islam, and I believed in them. Sayyidina Salim ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I asked him, who are you? He replied, أنا من الذين نزلت فيهم قل أوحي إلي أنه استمع نفر من الجن. That I am from amongst those regarding whom the verse of the Quran قل أوحي إلي أنه استمع نفر من الجن فقالوا إن سمينا القرآن عجبا was revealed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them very long lives. The shaitan is still alive to this very day, and he was there from the very beginning, and he will remain right till the day of judgment. How long do you think is it, how old do you think he is? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this to the jinn. And just like human beings, they marry amongst themselves. And it so happened in history that jinns have married human beings, and human beings have married jinns. Though whether it is permissible is another question. Qazi al-Qudat Husam ad-Din al-Razi al-Hanafi relates that once my father sent me to fetch some of the family from the east. He says, when we passed Bira, it started raining heavily, and we were forced to take refuge in some cave. He says, whilst I was asleep, all of a sudden, إِذَنْ بِشَيْءٍ يُقِذُنِي, something was waking me up. I woke up and saw a woman of average height, one eye extending upwards. I was terrified on seeing this woman. She says to me, there's nothing to be worried about. إِنَّمَا أَتَيْتُكْ لِتَتَزَوَّجْ إِبْنَةٍ قَلْكَمَرْ. That the only reason I've come is to marry you to a girl which is as beautiful as the moon. He says, out of fear, I said, أَلَخِيرَةِ اللَّهِ whatever Allah wishes. He says, all of a sudden I see a few guys in here, their eyes exactly like this woman's, and they come and perform my nikah. And me, out of being terrified, I agree. They do a legger, they disappear, the woman disappears, and the woman after a few minutes comes back with a very beautiful girl, except that her eyes like her mother's. And she leaves her with me and she does the disappearing act. Now I'm terrified. This girl is with me. I've got a few pebbles in my hand and I'm throwing them at my companion so that they wake up. And nobody seems to wake up and this girl is still here. I begin to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this girl's still here. Time to leave and this girl's still here. Wherever I go, this girl goes with. I'm absolutely terrified. 3 days this girl stayed with me. It is on the fourth day, the very woman who brought her to me in the first place came. And she said to me, كَكَنَّ هَذِي الشَّابَ مَا عَجِبَكْ. It seems that you don't like this young girl. I said, by Allah, I don't like her. She told me to divorce her. I divorced her. And he says, I never saw her thereafter. You're probably thinking, what a guy. He's got a dynamite of a wife who can play this disappearing act. And she can come in any form she wishes. And this guy's got her without any difficulty. And he's gone and divorced her. Only if we were so lucky. Only if we were so fortunate. Let me relate another story to you. Abu Yusuf al-Suruji says that a woman from amongst the jinn came to a man in Medina and said that we're residing nearby. So divorce me. So marry me. فَتَزَوَّجْنِي. He married her. And she would come to him every night, taking the form of a woman. One night she came to him and said, okay, now the time to leave has come, divorce me. He divorced her. Once he saw her whilst he was walking the streets of Medina, he saw her picking up these dhane that normally left by the farmers will fall down. And he said to her, okay, is this what you're looking for, dhane? She looked at him and said, Tell me, with which eye did you see me? He pointed to one of his eyes and said, I saw you with this eye. She went and poked his eye out. I'm sure by now you've changed your minds. So you should. Why? Because it is not permissible for you to marry the jinn. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He has created from you your wife. And the jinn are not from amongst the human beings. They are not from amongst us. Thus, it is not permissible to marry them. This is why when Imam Malik Ibn Anas rahimahullah was questioned, that there is a man here from the jinn who is asking to marry one of our girls, claiming he wants to do it in the halal manner. Imam Malik Ibn Anas replied, what will happen is that every woman that is expecting a child through sin, she will say that I've done it in the halal manner and my husband is from amongst the jinn. Thus, it is not permissible to marry the jinn. Now, I'm going to cut my talk short because I know I will receive the red card any moment now. I received it last year, so I think I will cut it short and bring it to an end by just answering one question. The question is, can human beings be possessed by the jinn? The answer to this is straightforward. Yes, human beings can be possessed by jinn. They've been possessed in the past. People are possessed in this day and age, and they will keep on being possessed. Once Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that a woman brought a son to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that my son has a jinn. And he troubles him every morning and every evening. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed his hand over over the child's chest. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for the child. The child vomited and something like a black puppy came out. Something black came out and went. In another hadith recorded by Sayyidina Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, and he says, we were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the farewell hajj. When we reached Batn al-Rawha, a woman came carrying her son and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this son of mine has never come round from the day he was born. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the child. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed him next to his chest. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then made dam in his mouth and said, Ukhruj ya adu Allah fa inni Rasulullah wa enemy of Allah kama, I am the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the child to the mother, saying that you will never see anything that you dislike. The shaitan, the jinn will never trouble her. So from all these ahadith, it is clearly evident that human beings can be possessed by jinn. Having said this, this happens very less. And this doesn't mean that everybody that claims to be possessed by a jinn is actually possessed. Now, one may question, okay, why do the jinns give taklif to human beings? Why do they possess human beings? Now, to understand this, you will have to understand, okay, human beings give taklif to human beings. You see humans fighting with one another. You see them arguing. You see them killing one another. Sometimes they do this for one reason or another, a valid reason. And sometimes there's no reason at all. You will see 3-4 boys ganging up on a smaller one. Sometimes you see boys taking the mic or teasing some girl. The jinn are exactly the same. Sometimes they will trouble you for no reason whatsoever, just like they trouble Azal Abu Dujana radiallahu ta'ala an, a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I once complained to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, once I was lying down on my bed, all of a sudden, I heard this sariran ka sarir raha, this grinding noise like that of a handmill, and this boiling, bubbling noise like that of a pot when it's cooking, and a flash like that of lightning. He says, I raised my head terrified, full of fear. I found myself in a black shadow which was becoming bigger and extending. I touched it and it felt like that, like the skin of a hedgehog. And it began to throw sparks at my face. And it was like as if it was going to burn me and my house. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Amiru ka amiru su ya abadu jana wa rabbil kaaba. I swear by the Lord of Kaaba wa abudu jana, the jinn living in your house is a bad jinn. And somebody like you is being put into difficulty and he's been troubled for no reason? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us Abu Dujana radiallahu ta'ala anhu to bring a pen and paper, and he told Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to write the following words: Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. هذا كتاب من محمد رسول رب العالمين إلى من طرق الباب من العمار والزوار أما بعد فإن لنا ولكم في الحق منع فإن شك عاشقا مولعا أو فاجرا مقتحما أو زاعما حقا مبتلا هذا كتاب الله ينطق علينا وعليكم بالحق إنا كنا نستنسخ ما كنتم تعملون ورسلنا يكتبون ما تكتمون اتركوا صاحب كتاب هذا وانطلقوا إلى عبدة الأصنام وعلى من يزعم أن مع الله إلهًا آخر لا إله إلا هو كل شيء حالك إلا وجهه لو الحكم وإليه ترجعون تغلبون حاميم لا تنصرون حاميم عين سين قاف تفرك أعداء الله وبلغت حجة الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله فسيكفيكهم الله وهو السميع العليم. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrote this letter, which you can find in Bayhaqi, and gave it to Hazrat Abu Dujana radiallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Abu Dujana radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, I took this letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I placed it under my pillow and went to sleep. That very night, I woke up by the screaming of the jinn, who began to scream and say, O Abu Dujana, by the Allah's Lat and Uzza, you have burnt us. We beg you, take away this letter. Take away this letter. We will never return to your house, and we will never return to your neighborhood, and we will never return to any house which has this letter. So sometimes the jinn give you taklif for no reason whatsoever. And sometimes, believe it or not, they give you taklif and trouble because they like you. They love you. In the Tazkirah of Alhamduniyya, it is related that a woman was possessed by a jinn. Something was read upon her so that the jinn appears. He was asked, are you a Muslim, a Jew or a Christian? He replied, I'm a Muslim. He was then asked, كيف استحللت أن تتعرض لأهلي وأنا مسلم مثلك? Then why do you give trouble to my wife, yet I am a Muslim like you? And he replied, that I love her like you, I also love her like you. He was then asked, where are you from? He replied, Jurjan. Yeah, he was asked, why did you throw her down? He replied, because she walks inside the house without a scarf on her head. This might scare our sisters and might make them put their scarves on their heads whilst they're inside the house. So he said, because she walks in the house without covering her head. It was said to him that if this is how much gharat you had, then why didn't you bring her one from Jurjan? So sometimes the jinn give you trouble and taklif because they like you. And sometimes they do it because they dislike you. Hussein ibn Abdul Rahman, I was in Mina and I saw this man, he kept on having fits. Every time he wants to read Salah or remember Allah, make zikr, he has a fit. He says, I said to the jinn that were inside him, that if you are Christian, then I ask you for the sake of Isa. If you are Jews, then I ask you for the sake of Musa. And if you are Muslim, then I ask you for the sake of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That leave him. They replied, we are not Christians or Jews. We found this man that he dislikes Shaykhain. And he says evil things about Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And we warn them and he doesn't refrain. This is why we are troubling him. So sometimes they do it because they dislike you. And many a time they may do it because you've probably done something to them. And they take revenge. And because there is a lot of ignorance amongst them, a lot of jihalat, they take revenge in a very severe manner. And they punish you more than that you punish them. You may have, for example, thrown some water on them without even realizing, or may have urinated on them without even realizing. And because of this, the jinn will take revenge and sometimes punish the human being more than what he deserves. So these are the general reasons as to why the jinn give taklif. Now I finish off by saying that one should make the habit of reading ta'awwudh, as this has been taught. As this is what the Quran teaches, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. This will protect him from the jinn and the evil, the reciting of ta'awwudh, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Further, one should make the habit of reciting the mu'awwazatain, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, the whole surah, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, the whole surah, as this was a practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also recite this on his grandsons Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Likewise, one should have Ayatul Kursi inside his heart, as this will also protect him from the jinn. And he should also recite Surah Baqarah inside his house, or at least the last verses of Surah Baqarah. This will protect him from the jinn and their evil. If somebody has Athar or somebody is possessed, then he should refer to Al-Hisnul Haseen. In it there is an Amal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and things that which should be recited unto him. And you can refer to Al-Hisnul Haseen and Amal al-Yawma wal-Layla yourselves. This was a very brief history of the jinn. And this is where I conclude my talk. Allah give me the tawfiq to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.